Hey, it's good to have you join us as we worship in our sanctuary. You know, there's nothing like old-time worship. I love it. I really do love it. It affects my life. It makes a difference in my life. Now, we're going to go back and join a little more of the singing in our congregation, a little bit of the choir, and I'll be back for prayer and the message from God's holy word. He's a mighty God. You worship him, saints of God. Hallelujah.
Grace.
That taught my heart to be.
Hallelujah.
And grace my fears relieves. How great.
Dangers I've already throw your hands in the air and sing it with all your gut. When we've been there, one more time for the gym. 10,000 years. I tell you what, I love that song. That is absolutely beautiful. We're going to get a little bit of the choir singing here. That'll be a blessing to you before we go to the Word of God. Hey, worship is just intrinsic to a believer, to a real saint of God. Nothing like worship. It's rich, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. It affects your life. It changes you. It really does. Hey, let's sing a minute with the choir before we go to the Word of God.
I am free to the throne.
them, sing another verse. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free.
Wonderful singing makes a church a different place. It really does. And I thank God for the beautiful singing we have, great piano playing, good music. Oh, I tell you, we welcome you. We welcome you to Paul Creek Church. The devil will do his best to keep you out of an old-fashioned church that preaches godliness and holiness and righteousness, that there is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can tell, listening to that singing, there's an anointing of the Holy Ghost in this house, and we give him the praise. Now let's go to prayer before we go to hear the Word of God. Father, my friends, across this nation, around the globe, wherever they may be listening, oh, those in the island of Tasmania, Australia. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, I know you understand me. Father, in Jesus' name, love them wherever they are. Bless them. Make yourself real to them. Make every person listening to this message to hear the Word of God. Let it grip their heart. Let it touch them deep and real and genuine. Oh, Father, what a joy to love you and worship you. What a joy to hear your word and to share it with others. I pray the mighty hand of God will be mighty in our midst today, right now, across the internet in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we go to the Word of God, let me invite you to camp meeting now, June the 27th. That's only a week, a little over a week and a half away, and we want you to be here. We really do. We want you to be here. That's June the 27th now. This is 2011. You may be listening to this sermon after Jesus comes. I don't know. And, of course, there won't be church here after Jesus comes. But whatever, if you're listening before June the 27th, we'd love to have you in camp meeting. We really would. If you are listening after Jesus comes, don't you take that mark of the beast. You get on your face and you repent, and you'll have to die a martyr. I can assure you that. But you be willing to die a martyr so that you'll go to heaven and not spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you take the mark of the beast, you can never repent. Remember that. You can never repent. And I pray you'll never do that. But come to camp meeting so you can get ready, if you're not ready, for the coming of the Lord. June the 27th, that's Monday night. Then beginning Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock, that's June the 28th. We have morning service, two sermons. Then we'll have lunch here on the campus, free, complimentary. I'll give to you Tuesday then, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Same schedule, no service on Saturday. Reverend Greg Roberts on Sunday, morning and evening. That's 10:50 and 6 in the afternoon. Church on Sunday, that's July the 3rd. Now, our night preacher is Eddie Sullivan. Really has a great reputation as a camp meeting preacher. I've had nobody that wasn't excited about him coming that knew him. I should say it. So don't miss camp meeting. Really, please, don't miss camp meeting. All my friends, drive to Charlotte, Macquetail, right here off of Interstate 85, Little Rock, Billy Graham exit off of Interstate 85. There's a Macquetail right off the street there, and you can get a good price, less than $50 for two people, and very nice, wonderful people there that run this, and I just hope you'll be here and be with us in camp meeting. We want you bad. We really do. I'd like to have you Sunday while I preach here in Paul Creek Church, 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. We have a great Christian school that's working hard, a lot of interest. We expect an enrollment to reach 100 or more the new year of 2011, 2012, and we want you and your children involved in our school. We want you and your children involved in our school. Call Monday, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588.
1-800-591-0588 to the sanctuary to hear the word of the living God. Okay? Do you like hearing preaching? I hope you do. Now, this sermon is important. Planted in the house of God. Planted in the house of God.
Let's worship as Brother Jim plays, will you? He's worthy. God's no failure. God's no absent Lord. God's no God that goes to sleep somewhere while you suffer. He's right there all the time. Full time. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Now, I know we've got children, but do your best. Don't play with children as I preach this morning. I want you to hear this message. Are you listening to me, grandmothers and mothers? I want you to hear this word of the Lord. Now, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Psalms, division 92. The book of Psalms, division 92. Oh, what a great passage this is. And man, I don't know about you, but I just feel heaven in this house. Anybody feel heaven here? Let me see your hand. You feel heaven here this morning? Hallelujah. Some of you hadn't even turned your feelings loose yet. You just, you know, just on pilot. Oh, let's get in here and open our hearts. God's a good God. He's a big God and He loves you. And He'll meet every need of your life if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. Bless you, Brother Jim, for good music this morning. Brother Rick, Sister Michelle, choir, Mark, everybody singing. God bless you. You bless me. Hallelujah. You bless me. Your Bible in hand. Honoring the book, if you would, standing. The book of Psalms 92:12. The righteous. Let me read 11. Psalms 92:11. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. David was one of those who knew that he had some really strong enemies. They were really incredible. One of them was Absalom, his son. But David knew that God was going to take care of him. And God was going to watch after him. And God was going to see him through. So he said, mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Now listen. The righteous, this is the text, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now here's another great verse that's the key word, key text. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now listen to that. There is a text of scripture that takes you to the present walk with God where a man is planted in church, planted in the house of God, and takes him by faith to the day up there, the great temple, the great Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. He says, those that be planted in church in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Man, I get excited about that. One of the reasons I'm really planted in the house of God right here, right now, is because I'm looking forward, Brother Mark, to the day that I shall flourish in the courts of heaven, in the courts of the Lord. You may not know this, but the whole city of New Jerusalem, 12,000 miles square and high, will be a temple. The Bible says there's no temple there, for Jesus and the Father are the temple of that city, and they shall fill it with their presence. And you're going to flourish in those courts up there if you're faithful in the house of God down here.
What a text of Scripture. The more I read that as I've been preparing to preach, I've just shouted and wept and prayed and thanked God for such a promise. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now listen to this. They shall bring forth fruit in old age, Brother Williams, Sister Ruby. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. They shall be fat and flourishing. What a text. I want to preach this morning on planted in the house of God. Father, I love your house. I've loved it 59 years. I've gone through unusual circumstances in the past to be in the house of God. And I shall do so until the time comes for me to leave. Thank you for the house of God. Thank you for being planted in the house of God. In Jesus' name I pray. You may be seated. I want you to listen carefully this morning as your shepherd does his best to preach about being planted in the house of God. Being planted in the house of God. This is an unusual text for today. Because we live in a day when that's not the norm. We live in a day when there is an onslaught against the house of God. There's an onslaught against the idea of a church and a building and a pastor and authority and government and teachings and standards and just the whole business of the church is under assault, is under incredible attack. And the church is partly to blame for that attack. Because so much of the church is just absolutely a poor excuse for a New Testament church. So much of the church is so far afield from the Holy Bible and from the way of God. The singing has gone the way of the world. It isn't the world that's taken the church to hell, folks. It's the church that's taken the world to hell. Did you hear me? Isn't the world that's taken the church to hell. I know the world has big influence, but we don't have to let it happen. The church should be the influence, and it's the church that's taken the world to hell. But God is going to change that. I'm praying He changes it before the tribulation. I'm praying the revival that I know is coming will come before the rapture and the great tribulation. But I don't want the rapture to be detained or deferred. I want Him to come when He's ready. I'm looking for Him any moment. But until He comes, I'm looking for revival. Holy Ghost revival. Holy Ghost revival. Not revival in the big cathedrals, probably. Not revival in the big mega churches, probably. But a revival among the remnant. The Bible believing, faithful, Bible loving, Bible obeying, godly men and women. I'm looking for revival among those people. But until then, there's a great teaching here that we are to be planted in the house of God. You're not planted in the house of God because it's right in the peaks of the mountains. You're not being planted in the house of God because it's at the top end of its efficiency and is as great as it ought to be. You're planted in the house of God because God has taught us to be planted in the house of God. You're planted in the house of God because it's biblical. And because you know that in the end, right will prevail. Right will be the master. And right will come out on top. Because God never fails. And the greatest revivals have ever come to the church has come when the ebb of religion was at its lowest peak and lowest point. When everything seemed to be in vain and the church was in desperate need and the church was failing in many quarters. And in the midst of that, God's people praying. And Jesus came with Holy Ghost revival. And I'm believing for that with everything inside of me. The righteous shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish It's God's will that righteous men and women flourish. Hold your shoulders square. Hold your head high. Live clean. Live pure. Walk in the scripture. Live by the Bible. Be planted in the house of God. And then just trust Him. Because God is always on time. Somebody say amen. God is always on time. God is always faithful. Now the Bible says some pretty strong things about the church. They are quite exciting to me. And I want to mention a few of them. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." The flock. Here in this scripture he calls the church the flock. That's a beautiful term. That's an endearment term. That term has the feeling of happiness in it. That term has the feeling of caring for one another. Of being a part of a family. Of being a part of a group of good people. Of genuine people. A flock. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. Take heed to yourself first. Because if you don't live like you should, you can't bless the flock. Take heed to yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. It isn't just me that's an overseer of this flock. It's Brother Jim and Brother Marlon and Brother Buck and Brother Rick and Brother Mark and Brother Beasley and Brother Williams and all over this congregation. Now Brother Matt, we all are overseers. We are to oversee. We are to care for. We're to look over. We're to have passion for. We're to care for the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made us overseers. You can't be appointed by authority greater than the Holy Ghost, friend. You can't be given a job greater than what would be given you by the Holy Ghost, church. He said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feel the burden." To feel the burden of being an overseer of the flock. Now, it's a great responsibility. You don't always sleep good when you feel a burden for the flock. Did you know that? You don't always sleep good at night. You go home when there's a dreary Sunday. When there's a Sunday that it just don't click. It don't happen like it ought to happen. And you go home and you can't sleep and you weep. You go home on Wednesday night when much of the flock is not there and you think all during the night and I have a tendency to wake up at 4 o'clock. My wife has the same tendency. And you wake up and the burden of people is upon your heart. The burden of somebody that's in a wayward state. A burden of somebody that has allowed the world to have an effect upon them and they're not ready. The burden of somebody that has failed to be faithful to the kingdom. And you're hurt. You see, when you're appointed by the Holy Ghost to be an overseer over the flock, we're talking about the church. Hadn't finished the scripture yet. Don't get ahead of me. We're talking about the church. We're talking about the people of God. We're talking about a company of people. The ecclesia is the Greek word. The ecclesia, called out, set in authority to transact business. That's what the church is. The church is in the business of the kingdom. The church is in the business of lost souls. The church is in the business of caring for the babes in Christ. You don't bring a baby into this world and lay that baby somewhere to take care of itself and tell the babe, "I'll be back in a couple of days." You care for that baby night and day. You care for that baby round the clock. I remember when I was little and they'd wake up in the middle of the night and with their mouth wide open screaming and crying and mama runs to get the milk and warm it a little bit and I'm laying there trying to sleep and that youngin won't shut up and you gotta care for that. You gotta feel the burden of that. You gotta feel the compassion of that. That's the mother and the babe. But we're just as responsible over the flock of God. Somebody who loves the joy of being part of the flock and helping oversee it. Would you raise your hand? Ladies, I'm talking to you too.
I'm talking to you too, ladies. I'm talking to you too, ladies. You have a duty. You have a responsibility. Overseers of the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath appointed you. I want to tell you something, folks. You listen to me. You're not here because of your own choice. You're here because the Holy Ghost hath appointed you. You're here because the Holy Ghost has called you to take shepherding responsibility with the flock of God. Nothing is needed like ladies who care for the ladies, who care for the younger women, who teach them how to dress. We got a generation of young people. They don't know how to dress. I never seen such floppy dress in my life. It amazes me. And I'm talking about around many churches. No sense of duty, no sense of morality, no sense of purity. Ladies, you've got a duty to lovingly, tenderly, not with some self-righteous mood and some pharisaical attitude, but with a godly sense of responsibility, take overseeing over the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made you an overseer. How many can say yes to the Holy Ghost right now? Would you raise your hand? I'll do it, Holy Ghost. Raise it way up high. I'll do it, Holy Ghost. I'll help take oversight of the flock of God over which the Holy Ghost hath made me overseers. Now, he didn't stop with taking oversight, Marlon Clark. He said to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased. How did he purchase it? Somebody say that out loud. Everybody say it. This church didn't come into being because Peter decided to be the first pope. That's hogwash. This church didn't come into being because Paul established the church in his own wisdom and ability. This church didn't come into being because James was involved and Andrew and all the other of the great apostles. He said he purchased the church with his own blood. You mess with the church, friend, and you're messing with something that was bought by the blood of the blessed Son of God. Are you listening to me? You mess with the church. You mess with the church. Oh, somebody. Would you raise your hand and help me? Hallelujah. Purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the flock of God. They may be meeting somewhere in a cave. They may be meeting somewhere on the shore of a river. They may be meeting somewhere in a home because there's nothing else to meet in. But when it's the church, the real church, the true church, is purchased by the blood. By the blood. Somebody say by the blood. Hallelujah. So don't you, yeah, oh, you don't mess with it. I had a revelation yesterday morning. It overwhelmed me. And I can't tell you. I can't tell you because the Holy Ghost poured in my heart to ask God to give the same revelation to two more people in the church so that every word would be established in the mouth of at least three witnesses. The Bible teaches either two or three, but I think I should prefer three in this case. And so, whatever that revelation was, I'm asking God, are you listening to me? Everybody hearing me? Raise your hand. I want to see if you're listening. I'm asking God to show that revelation to two more people. Because it's going to mean glorious victory in this church. It's going to mean the ending of a long period of trial and hardship. It's going to mean the end of some spirits of religious witchcraft, of religious spiritualism that's come against us like a storm. And I could just see the barrier that the old devil has set up around us to hinder and to keep it from being what it ought to be. And God's going to pull that barrier down. Hallelujah. And God's going to bless because He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. And so, would you pray for God to give you that revelation that would confirm what He gave me? And I shall keep my little mouth shut until I hear from two of you. And I pray it will be shortly because it needs to be declared. Hallelujah. But God needs to declare it, not me. Oh, help me, church. Hallelujah. So He said, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. To feed the church of God. I'm talking about a denomination now. I'm talking about any Bible-believing church that's His church. whatever the name is, wherever it is. Bible believing church. Hallelujah. Take heed. Take heed, because he purchased it with his own blood. I want to tell you something. When you talk about a church purchased with his blood, it's exciting. It's thrilling. Well, the church is so important that he didn't leave it unequipped. The church is so important, the Bible says, and this is in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps governments, diversities of tongues. See, God has established a church with the blood of his Son. And then God sent the Holy Ghost at the request of his Son to inhabit and fill the church with Holy Ghost gifts and offices to perform and transact the business of the church. I don't tell you, God can't use you if you're not planted. God can't use you if you've got a free-spirited attitude about you. And you're just not planted. You're gonna do your own thing. You're gonna be there when you want to, and just take it for light when you don't want to. No. If you're planted, brother, you're planted. If you're planted, you're planted. Say that with me, would you? If you're planted, you're planted. Oh, if you're planted, you're planted. Well, some of you are not saying it. If you're planted, you're planted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Marlon. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever planted a tomato vine? And you went out there in about 4 days and said, you're a tomato vine. You ain't doing nothing but just sitting there. And so you dig it up and you plant it again. And you come back 4 days later and you say, oh, you tomato vine. You ain't doing nothing but sitting there. So you dig it up and you plant it again. In time you do that about 4 times, you ain't going to have no tomato vine. Tomato vine. Tomato vine comes from the country where I came from. You aren't going to have no tomato vine. See, that's how your soul is. God planted you. Oh, I feel so planted this morning. I wonder if you really feel planted. Like I'm right where I'm just set. I'm just set. Hallelujah. I'm planted. Hallelujah. Well, that's the people he puts these gifts on. That's the people he gives these offices to. That's the people he pours out his Holy Ghost on. That's the people he makes them such a blessing. You don't have to just be used of the gifts in church. But you've got to be planted in church if you want to be used of the gifts outside the church. On your job. I was doing the radio program for internet. Well, internet program. Other day, with the sermon last Sunday. Man, I'm praying, and all of a sudden I'm speaking in the language of the Holy Ghost and giving an interpretation over the internet. I'd never done that before, and it kind of surprised me. But it's okay. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, don't you? I'm part of the church. I'm not just part of the church, Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm part of the church internationally. Hallelujah. We got listeners all over the globe. We hear from people in Australia and South Africa and you know, just all kinds of places. And that's wonderful. We want to bless people. We do. Oh, because we're planted in the church. It's the church that the Holy Ghost hath made us an overseer of. It's by the blood. And then there's gifts in the church. Wow. You know, it's amazing how you can take the Old Testament and the New Testament and you can just blend them together and they never conflict with each other. They never condemn each other. They just build together. They just plant together. Well, let me tell you, we serve a God that loves His people. He loves His people. If you saved, such as were saved, was added to the church daily. Wow. As soon as he saves you, brother, he wants to plant you in the house of God. It don't always work that easy for some. People get saved in all kinds of places, all kinds of circumstances. And the first thing the Holy Ghost wants to do when somebody gets saved is find a place to plant them. I promise you, the Holy Ghost will do the planting. If a person really gets saved, he'll show them. People write me from everywhere. Can't find a church. I said, pray. No use calling me. I don't know what's in your town. Talk to God. He knows what's in your town. He'll take you where He wants you and plant you. Plant you.
Hallelujah. Plants you. And you can start bearing fruit. You can start being a blessing. You can start loving people and showing the goodness of God. Now, if you are planted in the house of God, what does it accomplish you? What does it do for you? Well, let's go to another great passage in God's holy book. This is in Psalms division 91. Psalms division 91, verse 1. I love this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. What is the secret place of the Most High? Well, you study the Bible, and I'll tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find in every case it's the house of God. David said it. He said, I was so confused. Brother Jim, he said, I just didn't know what to do. I was watching the wicked, and they were prospering. I was watching the ungodly, and they seemed to be doing swell. And he said, I couldn't figure it out until I went to the house of God. Hallelujah. Till I went to the house of God. Hallelujah. I guarantee you God is talking to Brother and Sister Till this morning. And He brought them to hear something that will bless their life. He brought you here to hear something that will bless your life. The house of God is a place of direction. It's a place of comfort. It's a place of government. It's a place of security. It's a place of strength. It's a place of power. It's a place of the gifts and the offices of the Holy Ghost. It's the place where God has put men to bless you and help you and love you. It's the secret place of the Most High. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm under His shadow this morning. When we started singing, Brother Jim, I immediately felt such a joy of the Holy Ghost just spread over my soul. Hallelujah. I felt such a peace. Anybody else feel that while we were singing this morning? Let me see your hand if you felt that. Come on, raise it up if you felt it. Come on. Some of you didn't feel nothing. Well, you need to open your heart. Get yourself open to it. God's got something for you. Hallelujah. Oh, He says, I'm hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. If I have a dark moment, you ask my little wife. I'll say, honey, I'm going to church. Dad, it's 10 o'clock. It don't make no difference. This is church, 10 o'clock at night. And I go pray. Oh, how many times have I been blessed around this altar all by myself, just crying out to God. And I've found the best place for me to get rid of an old spirit from the devil that's coming at me is to come here and pray. And oh, the devil, oh, he don't like this place. No, he don't. He don't like it. I'm glad he don't. If the devil liked us, we'd be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't we? The devil goes to most churches. In fact, he runs most of them, to be honest with you. Oh, listen to me. This is the house of God. Oh, he said, if we be planted in the house of God, we shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. Here he said, if we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He shall cover thee with His feathers, verse 4, and under His wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Listen, he's talking to people planted, people who are under the shadow of His grace. He said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Who? Planted in the house of God. Faithful, committed, dedicated. Not looking for numbers, but looking for the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I've been getting so many blessings from the Word lately. In fact, I have all these years, but lately it seems to have been kind of mushrooming on me. Psalm 66 and verse 10. I was sitting at the house praying. The Holy Ghost began to talk to me. Brother Mark, Sister Michelle, the Holy Ghost began to talk to me. He said, son, you've come through some tough time. He said, but I'm going to bring you out into a wealthy place. I said, Holy Ghost, that sounds like something in the Bible. That sounds like something in the Bible. I grabbed my commentary and I looked up wealthy.
wasn't in the Bible, but just a handful of times, maybe even two or three, I can't remember. And I found this passage, and I read it, and I knew the Holy Ghost said, this is for you. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 66. For thou, O God, hath proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Listen, God proves His people. Listen to me now, Sister Doris. Both Darces, by the way. Listen to me, Sister Lisa. God proves His people. God puts them through the time of trial. God lets His people sometimes kind of hang out. I don't mean hang out with the world now. I mean hang out like you're hanging out to dry, you know? You're looking for the way. You're looking for help. You're looking for a blessing. You're looking for something to strengthen you. And it seems like you go for days and God seems so far away. And you say, where are you, God? The Bible said it will seem as though some strange thing is happening to you. Have you ever been there? If God's never tried you, you may not even be saved. You know you're saved because He chastens you and He tries you. He says, for thou, O God, hath proved us. Thou hast tried us. God has to prove you. You say, God knows what I am. He don't need to prove me. Why did He ask Abraham to take his son, Isaac, and offer him on a sacrifice? And Isaac was there to do it. Had the knife in the air. And the Holy Ghost caught his hand, or so to speak. Hold it, Abraham! Now I know that you hold back nothing from me. Oh God. Oh God, bring us to a place that God can look at us and say, that man is my man. Bring our ladies to the place that God can look at you and say, that woman is my woman. She'll do what I tell her to do. And the Bible said God proved Abraham. And then God said to him, now I know, Abraham, you hold back nothing. And from that day, he was called the father of faith. Hallelujah. He didn't become the father of faith down in Egypt lying about his wife like he did. Well, it was not quite a lie. He told the Pharaoh, no, she's my sister. Well, she was by kin, as understood in that day, his sister. But he was deceiving the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh took Sarah and put her up in his place of, what do they call that, Haran? Haran. Put her up in his Haran. But it didn't touch her because the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him. God wouldn't let him. And finally God spoke to the old Pharaoh and said, you've got that man of God's wife here. And curse fell on the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh went to Abraham and said, why in the world did you not tell me that was your wife? Just because she's so beautiful and so, I mean, just hilariously beautiful, you was afraid to tell me because you was afraid I'd kill you to get her. But God had to stop him. I'm talking about Abraham, the man of faith, going through a tough time. Am I right? Is that what the Bible says? You know, and we're talking about God had to bring him to the place he could really prove it. And God's trying to prove some of you. And you're having a little struggle with it. I want to tell you something. If you'll turn it loose and just be totally abandoned to God, I want to show you what He will do. The Bible says God had to prove Israel, and this is talking about Israel, and God had to try them like silver is tried. And He said, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. God, you've made a mess out of me. God, you've made a mess out of me. My loins are stripped and my life is in such a condition, God. But God didn't stop there. God said, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. Wow. When I read that, I said, God, that's me. Sure enough. That's me, God. Men just ride over your head and gloat while they're doing it. I'm talking about men and women. Ride over your head and gloat while they're doing it. The scripture says, thou hast allowed men to ride over our heads. They said, we went through the fire and through water. God had brought them through everything imaginable. But listen to what the Bible ends with. But thou, woo! But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I don't know why somebody don't at least say something like shout. Anybody know that God never faileth? That He may take you through the fire, Sister Lucille? He may allow people to ride over your head? And I've had people riding over my head. That's okay. I've been thanking God for it. Because I can see what's down the road. You say, well, what if it don't happen in this life? You wait till you see me in my new home. You ain't seen nothing yet till you see me in my new home. Ah, what a mansion. I want my wife to be nicer than mine. And I want my children's to be nicer than mine. But I'm looking forward to mine. But you know, I don't know what He's going to do here. But I just know one thing. He's faithful. Somebody help me, would you? He's faithful. He'll be there on time. Anybody believe that? Raise your hand if you do. Somebody that really believes it, stand up and say hallelujah as loud as you can say it. Somebody that knows God is everything you could ever desire. Hello, Kobasa. Just keep standing and praise Him a little bit. You brought me through the fire, Lord. You took me through the river, Lord. You took me through trials. And You let men just walk over top of me. But God, Thou hast brought me out into a wealthy place. You say, that couldn't be true. God said it, Brother Teal. And when God said it, it's true. Somebody say it's true. Somebody say it's true. Sister Shell, it's true. He may take you through some dark places. He may let you be tried. He may let you go through some storms. He may let things come at you that boggle your mind. It will seem as though some strange thing is happening to you. Hold your shoulders straight. Keep your feet solid. Keep your eyes on the target, on the goal, and walk after Jesus. He knows what He's doing. Good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You talk about, I've shouted over these verses about 3 weeks now. Hallelujah. God gave them to me. I didn't know this in the Bible. I didn't remember reading not one word of it, Brother Jim. But God knew it was there, and He gave it to me. And then I went and found it. And that's how God always is. If the Holy Ghost gives you anything, you can find it in the Bible. You understand to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, okay? Please stand. Reverence Him. Father, speak to us now. Hear me, saith the Lord. I've planted you. I've called you. I've set you in a straight path. On a straight road. In a straight way. Now walk in it. Listen carefully to my word and live by it. Do not live by nothing but my word. My word alone is the final word and the final truth and the absolute standard by which I have set. Walk in it. Obey it. Do my will. And glorify my Son named Jesus. And I will not fail you. I will bring you through the trial. And your end shall be as a wealthy place, saith the Lord. Will you raise your hand and thank Him for it? Raise your hand high and give Him praise. God's talking to us, church. God's talking to us, church. God's telling you, He'll never let you down. If you'll just trust Him. If you'll just obey Him. If you'll just do His will. He don't ask you to be some great, talented person. He doesn't call you to be bigger and better and stronger and more beautiful than anybody else. He calls you to be faithful and to do His will. And He will not fail you. An old 90-year-old man going to 13 rest homes a month. And all he's got to do is get a call. He'll drive all the way across the state. Isn't that wonderful? He's a good man. Hallelujah. But God's got good people all over this church, and God wants you planted. I want to tell you something. If I can say it real plain, you ain't worth much until you get planted. You're just like a tomato vine that somebody leaves. I got one that somebody gave me that I never did plant. And you know what happened to that thing? It's just laying there drying up. You got to get planted if you're going to be any value. God's talking to you, Matt, Krista. God's talking to you, Andrew. God's talking to you, Nicole. God's talking to you, Nicole. You got to get planted. You got to quit, you know. That's all I need to say. Get planted. God wants you planted. God wants you planted. There's enough people that are connected with this church that aren't planted to fill it up. But they're just not planted. And they're withering. And what's terrible is a lake of fire. Right out there, not far away. I wish I could hang the whole church world over hell for about 10 minutes. My wife said, Daddy, they don't need but 2 minutes, but I want to stretch it a little bit. I want to make it 10. So that they come back with a little scorch on their hide. And they never forget it. Hell's a hot place, folks. I was talking to Michelle the other day. And I said, you know, I don't understand hell. I can't imagine 10 billion years from now. People are still in that horrible place. One man answered the radio program yesterday and called me an imbecile. I had never been called an imbecile. Did I say the word right, imbecile? Anybody know what imbecile means? I don't want to know. Don't tell me. That man called me an imbecile. He said, you are stuck in the old traditional interpretation. And I was thinking, man, you just gave me the best compliment you could give me. Brother Hill, I'm stuck in the old traditional interpretation. Amen. Hell is real. And I want to help people not go there. Would you bow your heads? Father, I've preached from my heart this morning. And I've felt it by the Holy Ghost. And I don't deserve this sweet anointing that I felt. Your word is sweeter than honey. And you confirm this message by the Holy Ghost. And I can think of nothing as more wonderful than when the Bible is confirmed by the Holy Ghost. Oh, great God, get us ready for this great day that's coming. Get us ready, get us ready. Get us ready, Lord. Prepare us. Help us. Oh, hallelujah.